Wednesday the 30th of January, Kuf Gimel Shabbat, Dr. Yossi Adler, Wound Care on Shabbos.
Thank the organizers for inviting me back again. That is quite a suitable parsha to discuss things connected with Rasuah, because of course we've got the Pasuk of Rafa Yerape, where our whole Rasuah to do Rasuah in the first place, of course, emanates from. And the topic which I've chosen today is one which is perhaps most nogea in everyday lemaise, in everyday today, in all of our everyday today activities, but common wounds, abrasions, it happens all the time, and it's difficult sometimes to know what we should do, what can we do with them on Shabbos, and how should we manage them on Shabbos. What I've done is just gone through a few basic klolim here, and then the last four pages are some Myra McComas of where it comes from, which we'll refer to as we go along. So you may want to separate the last pages off as we go through. The wounds, we really have to divide them up. As we've explained, obviously any refer we do on Shabbos depends on the severity of the illness. And a wound obviously could vary from a very deep, dangerous wound, which could potentially become infected and could lead to a person becoming choli sheyesh bo sakanah, as we've obviously explained. So choli sheyesh bo sakanah, you can do anything on Shabbos, you can be a chal, Shabbos is stress for your dayim. But as we also explained, we pattern like the Ramah, that even when you've got somebody with a choli sheyesh bo sakanah, we still try to reduce the amount of the serum that we do. If we can do something al yedei shinui, we certainly should try and do it. So therefore, it's important for us to know, because in most cases, even if you've got a wound which needs treatment, because it is could be potentially life-threatening, in most cases, unless a person's bleeding very heavily, it's not going to be an emergency where you have to treat it this second. You've got time to think about it, and therefore, we're mechuyev to try and be mamayit the isurim as much as possible. And really, the idea of this is to discuss which isurim could be involved and how can we minimize the isurim that we do. You may get wounds which are not potentially life-threatening, but which are severely painful. And we said that Tzar Gadol has got the same din as somebody who is a cholik kol haguf. And for somebody like that, you can do an itza deraisa alidei akum. You can do amir al akum for it, but itza drabonon, and you can do an itza drabonon alidei shinui. That you can do itza drabonon. Therefore, it's important for us to know which is itza or itza deraisa and which are itza drabonon. The Sha'at Pachat, we said that there are poskim who hold, but we can probably do semichon, that you can even do an itza deraisa b'shinui for a cholik kol haguf. There are also then just minor abrasions, which one is the most common, which might have a din of p'torim where there's no heter to be machal Shabbos at all, and therefore we have to know what things can we do which are complete heter that we could do for treating these wounds. And therefore it's important that we sort out what is surim or surim d'raisa or surim surim d'rabbanan, what can we do and what in different situations. The other thing, of course, is that for minor abrasions, there'll be an issur of refuah. We said that besides any other malachas which involved, there's a gzera that you're not allowed to do refuah for somebody with a minor illness who's not a chole kol haguf. And the first question we have to sort out is covering a wound, putting a plaster on a wound, does that have a din of refuah? And there the halacha seems to be quite straightforward, and that's reference 1 on page 9, is that covering over wounds is not considered as refuah. It says here at the bottom then, on Chaf Dalet, it says, "Nosnim ala arkapi makah b'shabbos." You can put a leaf on top of the makah b'shabbos to protect it. She'ein ala kam shamra, that's only a process of protection, that's not refuah. Whereas ala gifanim, parent vine, had some koyach of refuah, and therefore that you're not allowed to do. And again, Ramah brings anything which has actually got a healing process, that would have an issur refuah, but something which is simply a covering doesn't have an issur. There's no issur refuah involved. The Shemir Shabbos Chasim brings down that putting iodine, the Shemir Shabbos says that just putting some iodine on a wound to clean it doesn't have a dinner of refuah because it's simply just protecting it. You're not actually treating anything. You're just putting it there to prevent or to protect from infection, and that's also got a dinner of mashana. So issur of refuah we're not really going to be very much concerned with. We can set that on the whole, we can set that to aside. The problem now, what other malachas could be involved? And I've laid out there the problems which we'll go through, which we have may involve issur in which we have to try to be mamayit. And there are a number of malachas which through this discussion we'll go through, and we'll get some insights into some of the following malachas: chita, tzaveah, tofen, kareah, kosher, and Mater, Machate, and Mamache, Mamarea, those are all malachas which could be involved in the which we'll go through in the various problems. So the first problem is actually cleaning the wound. Before you put a dressing on it, you want to clean it, you want to prevent any infection. And the first malacha which may be involved in that is the problem of schita. If you take a gauze or cotton wool and you put a disinfectant liquid on it, and you then try and clean the wound with it, you press on the wound in the process of squeezing the water, the fluid from that gauze, which could be a shaila of schita. And therefore it's certainly preferable, if you've got something which is non-absorbent and you go, well, it's shown absorb fluid, and you just put the fluid on it and then apply it, that certainly is preferable. If that's not available and you've got something which is absorbent, a synthetic absorbent material may be preferable to something which is non-synthetic, because there are shittas that there's no issue of schita on something which is not gzulei karka, certainly no schita derived for leg or holes in things which are not gzulei karka. And therefore, a synthetic material may not have an isoskita, certainly may not have an isoskita derived. If you are using a non-synthetic material, or possibly even synthetic material, as far as Issa Rabbanon is concerned, then the question is, what exactly is the isoskita? And we'll see that makes a big difference. As Machlokes Rishonim, the Rambam holds that schita is only osa misha malavim. That means that schita of a gauze or a cloth which contains liquid is an issa of malavin. That's cleaning. The problem is the cleaning process which goes into the cloth. The schita, which is osamish and dosh, is only squeezing out fruits, where you squeeze the contents of the fruit out. According to the Rambam, that's got an issa of disha, threshing, kind of process. But according to the Rambam, that doesn't apply to a cloth which has just absorbed the liquid. If the only issue is Mishon Malabin, then there are many Rishonim who hold that Malabin is only offered for clear liquids, because that's a cleaning process. And if you clear something which is clean, clear liquid, and you squeeze it out, then that's an issue of Malabin, because there's some cleaning process going on. Whereas something which is colours and you know, if anything is dirty, there's no issue of Malabin by squeezing that out, according to many Rishonim. The Rambam doesn't hold like that, but many Rishonim do. And therefore, if the whole is melamine, it would be preferable to use a coloured liquid rather than a clear liquid. So we'd better use, let's say, iodine or something like that, where there won't be an issue of melamine, according to many shittas, than to use a clear liquid. According to Tosfos, and Rosh Poskim seems to pass on that Tosfos, besides the issue of melamine, there's also an issue of dosh, that when you squeeze out the cloth which has got liquid in, that's the same as squeezing out a fruit or a fruit which the liquid and fruit is an issa of dosh, and for that obviously it doesn't make any difference whether it's coloured or whether it's not coloured. So therefore there would still be an issa involved even in using a coloured liquid, but nevertheless it probably is preferable to use a coloured liquid rather than a coloured liquid, because at least you're not being over on suicide, you're only being over on the dosh aspect of schita and not on the malabin aspect of schita. How do you get around the problem then of the issue of malabin and schita, or if you are, particularly if you're using a clear liquid, how will you get around the problem of schita? And here the etzah is that you pour, the preferred method is to pour the disinfectant on the wound and then to clean it with a cloth, because that's called schita klachayat. We find the same thing, if we look at here in reference to 3, Lisha, we're talking about Lisha, and it's talking about bran washing your hands, and they've got bran on the hands, and as a result of that you end up some sort of process of kneading this bran. So the Machaber says in Yud that you're allowed to wash your hands even if it's with this mortar, with this bran, because even if you hold that Lisha Kalafiyat is offer, the Mishabur, if we learn Mishabur in the end, it's Gibul Kalafiyat. The Zevshim was saying before, even though that we're machmir not from Megabal, even Ali Dei Shino, that you shouldn't do Lisha, even Kalachayad, but he says, if you've just got something on your hands, and you then and then you put water on them, that's not even proper Lisha Kalachayad. Lisha Kalachayad is you knead things together, but you do it in a different direction, you do it using a different method. Just having something on your hands, and then being, and then you've got the bran on your hands, and you get some water on it, that kind of lisha kalachiyad is mutter. And Rosh Hashanah says the same thing will apply to the issa of schita, that this is, even if you hold that schita kalachiyad is also, this kind of schita is so removed that you've just got water, you just pour something onto a wound, and then you clean it with first of all, there may not even be any skhita depending how much is absorbed, and even if it does come out, that degree of skhita kachiyat is certainly mutter b'mokam hatzorech, Rishon Zalman says. So therefore the preferred way is to take a colored disinfectant kind of liquid, pour it over the wound, and then gently clean it if possible with a preferably with a non-absorbent or synthetic material. Sorry? Better to be opaque is better, because then you get around the problem of malabin. A clear liquid is yeah, I mean it's less preferable, although as we said, if you're doing it like that, if you're pouring it on first, you can use if you've only got a clear liquid, you can use a clear liquid because it's kalachayad, whatever you're doing. It's kalachayad, and he said, this kind of kalachayad is mutter even with a colored liquid. So it's just really order of preferences that we're talking about. But certainly, it would be mutter to do it with a colored liquid by pouring it first on the wound and then cleaning it off. The other question is, you may say that there's some disadvantage in using a colored liquid because you may end up with a problem of tzaveya, of dyeing the cloth when you put it on. So there are a number of reasons why the problem of tzaveya doesn't really apply here. One het is that there's a het of tzvia derech lichluch, that the Shulchan brings it down, and that's in reference 4 here, that if you colour a cloth, but the whole purpose of it is just that it's going to be thrown away straight away, it dirties it rather than improving it, it's mutta certainly b'shas hatzorech. In the Ramah there in the bottom it says that if you've got no choice, you can do things derech lichluch, and that's why you don't have to worry. They're talking about when you're eating coloured, you're eating fruit which has got coloured juice on it, you don't have to worry about touching, and it gets on your hand, you don't have to worry about touching your clothes, if there's any sort of tzvia if you touch your clothes with the juice, because that's tzvia derech lichluch, and if a mokum certain mokmat tzorech, you can make on tzvia derech lichluch. And the Shulchan Aruch Harav brings down that tzvia, certainly if it's halach l'ibud, tzvia on something which you're just going to throw away straight away, there's certainly no if, and the Shemesh Abbas brings down that you can be semich on that. The other side is, of course, what about not the colouring of the cloth, but the colouring of the skin? That when you put the disinfectant liquid, the skin itself becomes coloured. And that's called Shaila Tzvia B'Gufa Odom. And that's in reference 5 here. It's an interesting question that when you're eating, it says there that a woman's not allowed to put makeup on Shabbos because there isn't Issa Tzvia. You see, there isn't Issa Tzvia B'Gufa Odom. If makeup colours the face, that's an Issa. But the Mishnah brings down that only applies to a woman. For a man who would not put makeup on, if he, let's say, is eating fruit and he touches it on his face gets coloured, that's no Issa Tzvia because it's not Derech Tzvia B'Gufa Odom. The only Derech is makeup for a woman, and any other kind of Tzvia B'Gufa Odom, there's no Issa on it. And therefore here also, any Tzvia which you do on the skin is not, you're not interested in it, it's not Derech B'Kach, and therefore there won't be any problems. Therefore Tzvia doesn't seem to be a problem at all, and that's why coloured liquid is probably preferable to a colourless liquid. The next problem is a tearing off, let's say you've got cotton wool which you want to clean it off, tearing off pieces of cotton wool. And there it is very good to have, you've got a first aid box in the house or whatever, to have pre-prepared cotton wool balls which are pre-cut, so you buy them like that already, really, rather than have to say this. It could be that tearing cotton wool is a shiloh and it's a derisa of Korea. The Shmuel Shabbos brings down that from Rishon HaZalman that he doesn't really hold of this, he doesn't really agree that there's an issa of tearing off cotton wool, and he brings a number of reasons why tearing past cotton wool may not be a problem, which are in references 6 and 7 here. One of them is based on the Shulchan Harav, who says that kriya, tearing, is only, it's done in the Mishkan with the ureas, with the curtains in the Mishkan, that tearing is only where something has been sewn together and you tear it apart. But the issa, certainly the strife of tearing, doesn't apply to things which are one unit to start with. So that's one thing Shulchan Harav says you could be reasonably make on. The other one is based on the Shittas Rashi, which would be Halacha from Dan Shemem, which is reference 7 there, which is that he says the Issa Kriya is a process where you do something which is destructive in order to have a tikkun, in order for something which is constructive later on. But a process which is constructive right from the beginning, that the actual tearing is a constructive process, Rashi holds is not considered as Issa Kriya at all here. So here, as you tear this cotton wool apart, there's no destructive purpose at all. The whole purpose of it, the whole action, is constructive from the beginning. Interesting to think that might make it worse, but Rashi says that doesn't come into the Gezer of Kriya at all. And the third Heti says is that, in fact, cotton wool is made up of lots of tiny little strands which are put together. And each strand in itself, so just separating the strands is no essence of tearing. And each strand in itself is so fine that he compares its crucial aquash to a spider's web, where it brought the fairies, there's no it's of Kriya on a spider's web. And therefore, for those three reasons, Shem Tom says that he would be noted towards being make of the tearing cotton wool, but he says that since the other cotton wool, he doesn't go as far as to argue with them, and he says one should try and be careful with it. Therefore, it's certainly goodbye to try and have pre-prepared cotton wool available rather than having to tear it on shut. Opening the packaging, if you've got gauze, which is in packaging, there it's clear that there's no issa of opening that packaging. That's the same as what's called chosles, which is brought down in Shini Dalet Zeches, that there's no issa of opening a package, which is just a protective. There it talks about these reed wrappers which they had around their fruits, and the whole thing is just to cover it. It's really just a covering, and as you take it off, you're just opening the covering. There's no issa there of creating a keli, of opening of kriya, because it's all just there as a temporary covering which you're just removing, and therefore there's no issa at all in opening packaging, but one has to be very, very careful with the writing. So therefore it's much more important to be careful not to tear the writing than to start thinking about doing it derech hilkum, the open packaging, so you destroy it and you haven't got anything left, because it really is a head of chosles. The actual tearing open the packaging part is no shaila, but the tearing the writing of course can be a very serious shaila. So the main thing one has to remember when you're tearing packaging is to be careful not to tear any writing. The next problem is cutting tape to size or bandage. If you've got a piece of tape, you want to take a bandage, put it on. You want to take some tape to secure it onto the wound. What's the problem with cutting tape? So the first one is, of course, just tearing off the tape, which is korea, which is the same problem we discussed as with the cotton wool, except here you haven't got the heter of korea shalakbosh. It's one. It's not like a spider's web. It's one piece, but the other heterum may also be a heter towards it. But it is a problem, especially since most cotton wool are machmir about cotton wool, certainly going to be even more machmir about tearing tape, and therefore one should be very careful, preferably if possible, and have something pre-prepared, but if not, one certainly has to be careful to do it derech shinui, do it plachayad, to try and avoid tearing off pieces of tape from a roll of tape as far as possible. And the other thing one has to be aware of, that besides that, there's an issa of mechateich, which is cutting to size. That if you've got a gauze and you reckon how much tape you need and you take a rough estimate of the size and you then cut it according to size, then that in the right of machate, and therefore one should be careful if you do have to cut the tape to just roughly, just make a rough estimate and take it off and have more than you need rather than cutting to size, which is a specific problem of machate.
And that's talking about cutting, is it with a hand or with a
scissors? Either way, Terea doesn't make it, even my hand, even my hand.
Sorry? With scissors would be more, no?
Scissors may be a more, I suppose, more precise way of doing it, but as far as Terea is concerned, it doesn't really make that much difference. And the scissors are touched, it's not mukta, so because you're using it, the Saragufa is killing shot this, and using the Saragufa, so it probably doesn't make all that much difference, actually. But by hand is less terrible, and I suppose it's preferable to do it by hand. Then we come to a major problem, which is not only a problem here with wounds, which is the question of taping down things. The problem where it came up with disposable nappies, where you've got where after you use it, you tape it down, and then you throw it away. We know that by kshira, the issa of kshira derives only for a kesher shel kayama, something which is going to be permanent, to be there, which is more than 7 days in reference 12 here, actually. We're trying to look at it. In Shinya Zion, the Mishnah Berurah gives the klolim of Chelchus Kareah of Chelchus Teisha, sorry, he says we pass them. It doesn't make a difference whether it's a Kesher Shel Uman, even if it's not a Kesher Shel Uman, there can still be an Issa D'Oraisa of Kira. Any kind of knot can have an Issa D'Oraisa of Kira, but it has to be Kesher Shel Kayoma, which is more than 7 days. He said, we can be Tomech, the Pashim say we can be Tomech on 7 days rather than 1 day. Machlokes is whether 1 day or 7 days is considered Hirsch Kayama, and the Shabbat Torah can be Tomech, anything less than 7 days doesn't have a din of Hirsch Kayama. The question is, does Tefira have the same condition? And the Shulchan Aruch brings down, and the Ramah says that Tefira also is only Achiv, the right certainty of Tefira Shel Kayama, if it's something which is permanent. The problem with these tapes are that when you take down a nappy, or here, if you put tape onto the gauze and then apply it to the skin, that tape will stay on that gauze forever. Because when you remove the gauze later on, you just remove the whole thing and you throw it away. You never peel the tape off the gauze later on. Just as when you throw these nappies away, you've thrown them in, that is never removed. And therefore that, many possums say, is a shayla of tefira d'oraisa, because that is done on a permanent, as a permanent thing. And in Shmuel Shabbos Chotah, he brings down that one should be chayshish, that there's an itza d'oraisa involved in that. Huh? You take it down and then you just throw the whole thing in the bin. After you take it off. No, after you've taken it off, before you throw it away, and it's dirty, so you have to get your wife to explain to you. You take after you do, you tape down these tapes, and you tape it down in order to throw it away, and that tape stays down there. Besides that, the other related problem is removing backing paper from plasters. If you've got plasters has got the backing paper. That backing paper is put on in the factory maybe a year before it actually gets its way to you. So that's put on as a long-term thing. When you peel it off, it could be a shayla of Korea, because you're peeling off something which was there, put there to remain there long-term. And therefore, again, many poskim are machmir that you shouldn't peel off backing paper from plasters on Shabbos. And that's the same thing as initially with the nappies. They've also usually got tabs which you push on and which are closed, which you peel off when you first put it on, before you put it on. And that could also be a shayla of an esteroid.
Why is it different from wrapping
paper? But that's what I said, because it's put on there more as a permanent part. They say it's all one structure. Once it's put on, it's all one thing. This is the plaster with the backing paper on it. So therefore, many poskim are machmir on both of these things, because they've got some permanence to it. In fact, in the Tikkunim, so yes, if you have, when that changes after Lachayad, the Eitel, as they say, is to take plasters before Shabbos, take off the backing paper, and then put it back on again, and then you're not doing it as a permanent thing. Then you're just doing it there for a short time. If it ends up, you don't use it at Shabbos, but your intention was that it should only be there for a short time. But let's just clarify, though, because in the Tikkunim and Miluim, in the third volume of Shmira Shabbos, the long piece from Jenzam, the basis of this, I should say, is the Gemara of Igud Shalulav. The Gemara says in Sukkah that it's an Issa on Sukkot to bind Yululav on Sukkot. It comes off, you can't put a normal binding back on Sukkot, because that calls Igud, so that's type Shalulav Peshit Horizon. And they're also the only interested in it for a short time. They're only interested in it to be there for a day or two, but in the end you never undo it, and therefore that's considered as being a permanent structure, and that's from occurred to say that this should be Osir Midoraisa. Rishon Zalman's got a long piece in the Tikkun Miluim where he argues with all this. He says it's chayzer from what he said before, because he says on consideration, he says there's two reasons why this should not really be considered as a Midoraisa. One of them is that he actually mentioned three reasons. He mentions, well, he said that maybe it should be more damit choslis in passing that as well. That's the third reason why it may be permitted. But he says, even besides that, he says there's a big difference between the lulav and between our case. He quotes, interesting, in Maral Diskin, talks about the soya hamishtaleach, that they tied a loshen shel zahuris on it, this thread which they tied. That thread, they tied a knot on that thread, and then they threw the soya down the mountain. So that thread, that knot, was the Kesher Shatayim, it never got destroyed. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, it was mutter to do it. So you see that something where you do something which is destructive, sort of Shema Zaman, they say, quoting Marav Diskin, he says, you see where you're doing something where you're not interested in it being long-term, you're only interested in not being very short-term. You happen to destroy it by some other method, because what's the difference whether you destroy it by undoing the knot, or you destroy it by throwing it away? That's both a way of this destructive process, which shows that you're not interested in this thing being long-term, and therefore, he says, that he would be noted to say that it would make, or that it shouldn't, can't be included in the Issa of Kosher. The other thing he says is that the Igad Shel Lulav has got some permanency in it. You're tying a knot there, and you want that to stay on your lulav. You've got no interest in it being destructive, being destroyed later on. Unlike the backing plaster, where when they put it on in the factory, the purpose of putting it on is in order to take it off. It may be in order to take it off a long time later, but the purpose of putting it on is in order that it should be removed here, it should be removed later on. Unlike the Igad Shel Lulav, where the purpose of it being there is that it should be there long term. You've got no interest in undoing it. It's all on the contrary. It says there used to be Moshe that would love him for their children, so you see there will certainly be some long term process which is involved. So he says that for those two reasons, he feels that one doesn't have to be machmir in plasters and ruined back and bay of plasters in this whole problem with the nappies and so on. There's certainly a strong mockum to be made for him. The other problem is, of course, with stitches, very strict blue stitches stinning, applying to the skin. Is then Issa Tfira the Guf Ha'Av? So the arrangement in the Shemir Shabbos brings down that there's no Issa it's clear there's no Issa of tying the tape to the body, because that's not permanent, right? It's only going to be there for a short time, you're going to change the dressing, that's not a problem. But the problem is, what about putting stitches into the skin or a steri strip across the skin, where the idea is to make permanent join there? So he says that the Shemir Shabbos says canarily that there's no din of tape the Guf Ha'Adam, there's no din of tfira by body, and that's difficult to understand. He doesn't quote any makor for it. It's difficult to understand where it comes from. Rabbi Yashiv and Nishmat Avraham brings down that Rabbi Yashiv was mistapek in this. It's where what's the makor to come from? But if I'm thinking about it, Rabbi Hofstra once explained to me that it seems the pshat is very simple why there's no din of tfira by Guf Ha'Adam. When you put a steri strip across a wound, that strip is only going to be there temporarily. All the strip does is bring two bits of wounds together. You're not joining, you're not sewing anything together. Even if you put stitches in, you're not actually sewing together like when you sew a material. All the stitch is doing is opposing two sides, so that then Hapishpoh does the rest of the job and the skin heals up by itself. That's why it says from the Dubba that there's no tfira of a Guf Ha'Adam, because you're not sewing anything together. It's an actual process of refuah which allows the skin to join together. And therefore, all you're doing is the problem as far as the strip for the skin, which is no problem because it's temporary. The stitch, you'd obviously have to, we've got the shayla of kosher, it's exactly the same problem as before, because you put the knot on. And when you cut the stitch later on, you leave the knot intact. So the knot is actually remains forever. That's exactly the same problem as the problem we had before with attaching the nappies or whatever, because you only want it for a short time, even though you're going to end up having a lot of
stitches.
Sorry?
Stitches you take it out.
You take out the stitches, but the knot stays there. The knot stays permanent. You don't undo a knot. You leave the knot. You cut there, but the knot is still there. So that's exactly the same thing. Finally, just a brief word about ointments on Shabbos, which apply to wounds, apply to applying ointments altogether. There's an issa derived on Shabbos of mamareach, which is chorva of mamachik. Mamareach is when it's a soft material, mamachik is when it's a hard material. Mamareach has got various principles. One of it is it has to involve a smoothing action. That means you smooth something over the skin, you smooth something on different places. If there's no smoothing action involved, then there's no issa of mamareach. Mamareach deraisa only applies to solid kind of materials, sort of pliant solid, waxy materials, like putty kind of materials. Using ointments, creams, thick liquid soap is mamareach derabonon. On things where there's mamareach deraisa, the chachamim made a gzeira that you shouldn't do a pressing movement either. But on things where there's only mamareach derabonon in the first place, like ointments and creams, then there's no issa of there's no gezeira of doing something which is not done with a smoothing action. So the issa of putting on creams is only if there's a smoothing action involved. Dabbing something on the skin doesn't involve any issa of mamareach. So therefore the preferred method is to squeeze some cream onto the skin if you have to put cream on, and then and then press it down with a gauze and press it into place and avoid any smoothing action. And then there shouldn't be any issa of mamareach involved in that at all. Some poskim also permit just spreading creams onto the skin, because if it gets totally absorbed, and have a look in the reference 11 there, discussed, the halacha discusses this, But if something is totally absorbed into the skin, there's no ism mamareh. Mamareh is smoothing something which is then visible on the skin, or which is still evident on the skin. If something is completely absorbed, then there's no issa of mamareh. Possum discussed why shining shoes should therefore be an issa of mamareh, because it gets totally absorbed into the shoe. But they're different because you actually change the shoe as a result of that. It now brighter as a result of what you've done. But pastas where something is totally absorbed into the skin and it's not evidence afterwards, according to most poskim, there's no ism on the either. So there could be a further het in that. But certainly, preferably, if you have to put ointments on Shabbos, the best way is certainly to put it onto the skin and then press it down with the gauze. Or, alternatively, perhaps slightly less good is to put it on the gauze and then press the whole thing down. It's important, obviously, to realize that as far as ointments are concerned, the issue of refuah does come into play. We started off by saying that there's no issue of refuah involved in most of the things that we're involved with. If you've got a minor abrasion which isn't sargadol and it's not chola, and you're putting it, or just a little bit of eczema or whatever, then obviously putting on the ointment is the same as taking the medicine. It's got the issue of refuah, even if you can get around the problem of the issue of mamareh. This perhaps is the most appropriate. We started by saying that it's appropriate to talk about v'rapa yirapa. And Ezra shows that the heta v'rapa yirapa applies to external wounds, that it doesn't apply to healing other illnesses which come from menashamayim, therefore it's not appropriate to heal. We don't pass deny that. But certainly external wounds is the thing which we've got the greatest heta and tears to treat. So I hope that this insight will just help us in how to deal with these problems should we be faced with them.